So we are back with the spinning class, the scripture spinning class, a workout in Bible study. And we've been looking at how do we go deeper in the Lord? What are some of the problems that can cause our head to spin out of control when we read the word, things that may confuse us, baffle us, or just challenge us in many ways? And of course, things like cults and cult leaders, how if you're not grounded in the word solidly, beyond the core tenets of the faith, that you can be misled very easily by especially charismatic individuals. And we looked at what was the solution, spinning the wheel of the word, study, ponder, investigate, and note, S-P-I-N. And that the objective was to show the benefits of deeper studying and how you can actually drill down on this. And then I posed a question, how far out in the water did you think you were, in terms of swimming water being the analogy of depth and going further in the word, if you will, and having the word of the water or the water of the word washing you. And the goal was to cause you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And now we move to the methods without the dogma of methodology. Methods are good things, you know, when you put them in place. But what happens to human nature we have to be very guarded and careful about is that we don't fall prey to dogma and to rote. That over the passage of time, we just slip into the habit of, reciting things repeatedly. Without them having the impact and meaning and depth that they did originally when we first heard it. It's sort of inoculation of the word, if you will. We have to be careful. But it doesn't mean that we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, that indeed, methods or a methodology is something that can be adapted if used wisely and correctly. Now, the best method, of course, if you can even call it that, is the continual reading of the Word of God. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So in him we live and move and have our very being, remaining in the vine of the Word itself, and having the Word wash us in the water to clean us. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, Jesus said in the Gospel of John 15, I think it is. So the method is really about the continual reading of the word, not necessarily in a systematic way, but certainly in a diligent, continual manner. A lot of us perhaps maybe skip reading the word. Perhaps we're too busy. Life gets in the way. It happens to the best of us, or as my friend used to say, it happens in the best of regulated families. And of course, that's a challenge for us. Some people in that busyness of life, the tyranny of the urgent, crowding out the important, may just choose to read a devotional only, the daily word, the daily bread, whatever it is, and then that's it. But that is not enough to sustain your spiritual life. You'd be severely malnourished. Perhaps you may go to a Sunday service or tune in online to some teaching or something, and that's good, wonderful, but it's not enough. You have to take time to sit down your busy schedule and carve out the time it takes to study the Word, to go deeper in the Word, to spend time with the Holy Spirit, and to allow him to minister to you. And of course, I speak to myself as well in this matter, because we know that life gets in the way, and it's a discipline. It really is a discipline that you have to learn to overcome this challenge. And that doesn't mean that the opposite is true, that now dogma must be the answer to it. The cure for it is continual methodology, and by rote, you in parrot-like fashion, do all of these things, because I know we're all want to be susceptible to that. And so that's another part that we have to guide. And there are seasons and times when God may have you completely change all of your methods and methodology just to get you out of that rote, or to even to show you something new. So we must be always open to it. The core principle here is that the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, who Jesus said he would send, would lead you into all truth. And in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." While teachings and men speaking and exhorting and so forth is very valuable in the kingdom of God and for the body of Christ, of course, we know that the great revealer, to reveal Jesus himself and everything about Scripture and about who he is indeed the Holy Spirit. Blessed are you that this was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven and not by men. So it's an important principle in terms of the revelation. Well, revelation comes to you when you have taken the time to perhaps search, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I repeat this passage again. It says, Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are admonished to be diligent. We have some work to do. Now we know we're not saved by works, of course, but this is not a soteriological discussion or debate here in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. This is about the work that is required in order to correctly handle the balance, use, and application of the word of truth, which is not only for our own edification, but it is also for those hearers that we may come into contact with when we speak to someone, either in an evangelizing setting, or perhaps even just in conversation with someone who needs to hear the correct truth about the word. And we speak the word in love, speak the truth in love. This is the Logos word written down for us. There is also the Rhema word and the spoken word, and that in of itself is a completely different teaching as to what those mean. But for the purposes of what we're doing here, sometimes a word of knowledge can drop into your spirit, so to speak, that's the expression used, whereby you get an impression, a thought that is implanted in your being, and you're not sure, is this God? Is this my own imagination? Is this, you know, planted by the enemy, some other technique by having heard my brain recalled something I heard 3 weeks ago and generated it? Then there's so many different ways. You know, the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit is where we need to hear word of knowledge very, very clearly. And that takes a bit of silence, sitting, being still before the Lord. You could be in conversation, don't get me wrong. We don't box the Holy Spirit in. There's no specific method, no dogma of methodology for when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You can be in a crowd of people and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. So let me just clarify that. But sometimes in the silence, we perhaps get a word that is very useful not only for ourselves, but also for perhaps someone else. We must test the spirits to see if that word is indeed from the Lord. And so my question then is, what are some of the ways God has spoken to you using different ways? Let's say the Logos, the written word. What has jumped out of the page? A Rhema word, a word of knowledge, or perhaps even a spoken word, whether that's through a sermon or whether that's through another friend who said something. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be scripture. It can be something the person says that the Holy Spirit actually grabs a hold of and makes an impression to you. And it gets down to the spirit man level. It doesn't scratch the head knowledge, head surface, intellectual brain. It's something that you know. It's almost very hard to vocalize it or even interpret it or communicate it. But you know what you know, what you know, what you know. It's right at that level. So that's the question. I want you to think about it, obviously, and see and remember some of these things that God has spoken to you. And then the next question is, what methods or ways are you using now to study? Are you using the Bible alone? Are you using any extracurricular things? Are you using audio? What are you using? This is rhetorical questions, naturally. There's no test for you to reply to this, but it's to cause you to think, to say, you know what? I remember so-and-so said they were using a complete concordance to look up passages. I should really investigate that. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the tools you need to be able to explore His Word. The objective is not for us to become academics and professors. The objective for us is to know God more and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So now we're going to do an exposé, which will be an example to expose you to deepening your understanding of studying the Scriptures. This exposé will also expose some passages which may seem strange, but don't be alarmed. This is the point of why we need to deep dive. You already may have been exposed to them. If not, here we go in the next module coming up, and what we're going to do is we're going to go for a spin in a car. And that CAR acronym I've spelled out, C for creation, A for Adonai, R for revelation. We're going to go for a spin in a car next time. Father, thank you that you don't rely on methods or methodologies. The letter of the law has been replaced by the spirit of the law, but the law being fulfilled in Christ has not been abolished. You have written it on our hearts. And while we use methods, we don't become attached to the methodology or rely on it, but we rely on you for revelation through your Holy Spirit. Father, everyone hearing, Father, I pray that you speak to them personally about what methods are best suited for them and to guard them against dogma and rote. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.